Welcome to the Maker Faire podcast on Youth Express, recorded live from SOB Studios. This is Demarcus Dixon, and I am a junior at Holy Family Academy. Joining me are...
I am Taiwan Arisha, and I'm a junior at Holy Family Academy.
Karan Wilson, I'm a junior at Holy Family Academy.
Kiara Mitchell, junior at Holy Family Academy.
Today we will be discussing making, as well as talking to makers from the Maker Faire. First, we'd like to ask you, sir... What is your name?
My name is Josh Inklevich.
Okay. And what have you made today?
We brought the singing grow room, which is a 8-foot in diameter vertical growing system that is hooked up to a device that allows the life energy of the plants to play the musical synthesizer. So we make a big old living musical instrument.
That's cool. How long have you been working on this?
Since April.
April. So is that like the biggest project you've done?
Yeah, it's the biggest.
What inspired you to, you know, do this and build that?
I have been working with parents, with people coming out of prison to train them in skills necessary to earn a living wage. And my past efforts were included painting bridges and football stadiums, and wanted to get away from that work into something that was maybe a little more green, more sustainable, and more friendly to a variety of different audiences. So the Grow Room is a tool to teach parents a different skill set, which includes growing and preparing their own food and processing herbs, as well as the making skills that include operating a CNC robotic router, a laser beam, 3D printer, and basic construction skills. And when they're put together, you have a grow room.
Okay.
What's your favorite part about the whole thing?
Seeing people's response whenever the plant plays music and they sit inside of the grow room.
So it really plays music?
Yeah, it really does.
What music does it play?
You have to go sit inside of it whenever you're done here.
Okay. What was your favorite subject in school growing up?
Chemistry.
So that played That plays a big part in your invention or what you're doing?
I don't know. I used to really just like to rip stuff apart ever since I was little. Yeah. And then like sell you the motor or something so I could buy candy after school. Now it's like better because it's putting things together. Okay. Ending up with a finished product versus like a pile of broken junk is preferable.
Yeah. So who influenced you to get into this type of making?
I took a tour of the tech shop, and at that point in life, I was the vice president of a company and had just finished developing and implementing a workforce development program. We trained people like previously homeless military veterans. And when I walked through the tech shop and I saw the laser beam and the 3D router and the 3D printer and then like all the different welders and the full wood shop, then I saw a lot of different potentials there, so I left my job and I went into the Maker training program that was offered by Made Right Here and received training in like 10 or 12 different tools. And so until I met a laser beam, I wasn't really an artist or a maker, but meeting a laser beam, it was like game on.
So do you take this as a full-time profession?
Yeah, I grow food. We have Pittsburgh's oldest urban herb farm up in Garfield, and we operate out of a greenhouse on the Goodwill campus in Lawrenceville where we grow microgreens and succulents, and then we build stuff. So yeah, I guess that's my life now.
So do you plan on participating next year?
Sure. I like seeing the kids walk around and have the ability to experience a wide variety of different things, and I mean, it's not every day you get to see people breathing fire.
If so, what are you planning on, like, making?
Oh, man, that'd be hard. I like to make too many different things. It's that ADHD thing, you know? Next year, we hope to have the grow room fully wrapped in NeoPixels, which are programmable LEDs, and our goal is to have people sit inside of it, and the plants will make the music and control the lighting system. So it'll be a living musical instrument light show.
How are you going to try to expand this, like make it bigger?
Our intention is to build more grow rooms, and we are competing at Scratch Restaurant on Monday in the Awesome Pittsburgh Pitch Competition to raise money to build the next grow room. And we hope to sell them and build them. And last week we brought on our first mother exiting the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. She's leaving prison. And we're training her on the CNC router on Wednesday so that we can build one with her while paying her a living wage.
How can people find out more about like what you do?
So we are on Facebook. It is Grow Room PGH. We're also on Facebook with FIT, F-I-T, Farms. And finally, our website is farmingfamily.org.
Thanks for coming to interview with us.
Y'all did great.
We really
Thank
enjoyed
you.
Your time. Welcome back to the Maker Faire podcast. I'm DeMarcus Dixon. I'm a junior at Holy Family Academy. I'm still here with Tyana Risher, DeAndre Gordon, Kiara Mitchell, and Cache Unique. And we're here with some students that go to Northgate, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, and they're here to talk about what they've made and have brought here to Maker Faire.
Hello, we've made kaleidoscopes, and some of our materials are plastic, beads, and mirrors.
We started brainstorming what materials we will need to make a kaleidoscope. And for the mirrors, we took three rectangles of mirror and made it into a triangle.
We started analyzing how we would build it.
We tried different methods. We started to build prototypes, making mirrors into rectangulars. We chose beads that are different sizes and different colors.
And we used wax paper and hot glue over the beads to block out the things around us.
For the containers, you could use anything that you have at home, such as a toilet paper roll, a can, or any kind of roll for food.
We put stuff together with different containers. Miss Clicker bought hot glue guns, and we started to fade it using hot glue. And we also tried to scratch out the plastic with sandpaper.
Was this process a long process to do?
Yes, we used about 8 hours.
What grade are you guys in?
Six.
And what are your names?
I'm Kara.
I'm Erin.
I'm Noel.
And I'm Sydney.
So who influenced you guys to start creating this kaleidoscope?
Miss Clicker gave us the idea, and we kind of just rolled with it, and we looked at some models, but we didn't look up any ideas. We kind of, like, just brainstormed.
Oh, so you, like, you just made an original mm-hmm. model. Okay.
Do you feel more accomplished making a original item than looking up other ways to do it?
Yeah.
How does it feel seeing people, like, use your item and get excited about your item?
The first time when, like, people were making them on our first shift, when we were telling them, what the girl that I had, she didn't know what to do, so when she finished, her eyes lit up, so it was really nice.
That's what's up. I know with creating and inventions, there's a lot of trial and error. How many times did you guys fail?
I ended up making 3 kaleidoscopes, and I was planning on making 4, but one of them just failed, so it took about a day. So
we tried to make 2 and 1 broke.
Our friends really broke and had to make it really fast.
And the one girl wanted to make one with oil, and it did turn out good in the end, but her first time she didn't hot glue the sides of the oil container, so it kind of leaked.
Dang,
it's a bad mess.
Is it intimidating being so young and making stuff with a lot of older people? Because you know there's a lot of older people here with their creations.
Not really.
Confident. All right. So what's life like at Northgate for a 6th grader? Run us through your day.
Well, we're the oldest people in our school for now until we go up to the high school. So we're kind of the role models.
We do a lot of stuff with the little kids.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time here. We really appreciated you guys we hope someday in the future you're going to be just like these other older people, you know, making different creations and stuff.
Definitely. If you're down here, go check them out.
Thank you.
Hi, this is DeMarcus Dixon here. We're back with another maker, Mr. Aaron Hartman, Chief Executive Maker at Creation Labs. And he's been here creating, he has a 3D printer and he's been...
That's correct. Yeah, we have several 3D printers over at the booth and all sorts of different 3D printed stuff. We have a 3.5 foot tall Eiffel Tower. We have a couple robots over there and many, many, many little trinkets that you can pick up and play with. So,
how did you guys get started?
I'm just a big nerd, and I really like geeky stuff like 3D printing. And I've been doing design work for a few decades, and I just decided to get a 3D printer and then started looking around for parts and accessories and filament and stuff, and found the closest place was in New York City, so I decided to make a small business out of it. So now I sell, lease, and rent the machines. I sell the filament, and I also do a print service. So people send me a file. I send them an object. So that's basically what I'm doing right now.
Okay. So this is like your full-time job?
It is, yes. Okay. We're gearing up to open up a makerspace in the South Hills. It's going to be in the southern tip of Mount Lebanon, and we'll have a lot of 3D printers, some laser cutters, a few other CNC machines, and then what I call the dust room is traditional shop tools, you know, wood table saw, band sanders, belt sanders, drill press, stuff like that. So,
okay. So we see we had your... you had your son with you.
Yeah, both my boys are here with me today, yeah.
Yeah, so when did you, like, start to try to get them involved?
Well, they're sort of geeks like dad, so they're already into it. But they've been doing the 3D modeling for, I would say, 3 or 4 years now. So the large Rubik's Cube, some of the little other trinkets over there, the kids designed themselves and printed 100% themselves. So they've been doing it for... not quite as long as I have, but for 3 or 4 years now.
Okay. So we saw you had a bunch of big things there. Like, how long did it take to make that? Like, did you have to make it piece by piece?
That's right. So there's the 3.5 foot tall Eiffel Tower that is glued together with 16 different segments. It's a total of 210 hours of print time. Wow. And 4.2 spools of filament or kilograms. So it's a big, heavy hunk of plastic that looks like an Eiffel Tower. So.
Can you give us basically the story behind Creation Labs? Like, how did it come to be?
Yeah, so I've for the past few years, I've been operating under Bits to Pieces. That was my name of my company for the past few years. And we are getting ready to open the makerspace here and decided to change the name and the logo and everything to in anticipation of us opening up the makerspace. So Creation Labs is really just a new company. It's only been around for a few months. We were operating under Bits to Pieces before that, and I still operate under that as my print service. So Creation Labs is getting ready to open the makerspace in the South Hills.
Okay. Do you create anything besides, like, just art? Like,
Well, we do a lot of functional parts for my kids and I are on a competitive robotics team, so we print out motor mounts and brackets and other sensor mounts and main components as well. I've printed many different car parts, little brackets for around the house. We lost a wheel on our dishwasher rack, so I printed a new one of those, and a few other little brackets and little parts around the house. So, yeah, all sorts of stuff.
Okay. Were your parents into this type of stuff to, like...
No, not really. My mom is a chemist. She taught chemistry at La Roche College, so she knows a little bit about the chemistry of the plastic. My father was an architect, so he taught me everything I know about design. So I guess my parents and my upbringing have sort of played into my obsession with 3D printing, I would say. My parents are very technical people, so that's where I learned it from.
Okay. What was your favorite subject in school?
Physics, actually. I love science.
I hate science.
I hate science.
Where did you get a lot of your inspiration from to be what you are?
Just seeing what other people, as far as the design work, seeing what other people have designed, and I always try and take what I see other people have done and sort of take it up another notch. Just to, if they have something with 8 legs, I make mine with 12 legs or something like that. So it's just I always try and go a little a step above what I've seen others do. So I usually, to be honest, I copy a lot of designs, but I always give the original designer credit and just like I said, take it up a notch from there.
What type of advice would you give someone that wants to like go into your type of field?
Okay, what I would recommend is get into 3D modeling. So there's several different programs you can download for free. One of the easiest ones is called Tinkercad. There's a few other ones, Fusion 360. And there's a few other softwares you can download for free that'll allow you to generate the 3D files. And then if you have your own printer at home or at school, you can print it there or send the file to me or another print service to have your object made.
So were you... Are you born here? Like, where are you from?
Oh, yeah, I'm a Yinzer for life. I've lived in Peters Township for all of my 42 years, and I can't imagine I'll live anywhere else. To be honest, I love Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I've always lived in Pittsburgh, and I can't imagine moving out.
Are you enjoying, like, the scenery here at the Maker Faire?
Absolutely, yeah, I love Maker Faire. It's an opportunity for me to show off what I do and interact with all the kids, and you find folks and just sort of teach everybody what I do and let everybody know that we're here. So, yeah, I really love it.
Would you be coming back next year?
Absolutely. This is my third year here, so I'll definitely be back next year.
So next year, what are you planning on trying to come back with?
Bigger and better. More stuff that moves, more robots, more things like that. Bigger and better 3D printed stuff.
Okay.
What are the advantages and disadvantages of like being a 3D maker?
Some of the disadvantages are people think you can make anything, so they want me to make new car parts, and I can't print anything out of metal, I can't print electronics, so it's sort of a people have a misconception of what you can make with 3D printing, because it's somewhat limited, so that's one of the biggest challenges is teaching the public of what 3D printing can be and cannot be used for.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hartman. If you would like to repeat, you know, where people can find you at.
Absolutely, yeah. Log on to my website. It's creationlabs.us. And like I said, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Hello, we're back. We got a few students here. You know, they're here to talk about their time here at Maker Faire. And we're going to just let them introduce ourselves. So what is your name?
Zanir.
What grade are you in?
Fourth.
What school do you get to?
Appropriate bread at Kales.
Mm-hmm. My name's Claudia.
What grade are you in?
Fourth.
And what school do you go to?
Propel Brad at Kills Elementary.
Okay, you like it there?
It's fun.
Oh.
Okay. What's your name?
My name's Lillian. I'm in fourth grade and I go to Propel Brad at Kills Elementary.
Okay. My name is Jaden. I'm in fourth grade and I go to Propel Brad at Kills Elementary School.
So far, what have you guys done here so far?
We was playing and doing stuff. A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff?
We saw the fire-breathing dragon, and we made a couple kaleidoscopes.
Was it fun?
Mm-hmm. It was very fun.
What was your favorite thing?
My favorite thing was probably going over into the room with, like, the cans and stuff and making music with my friends.
What about you?
My favorite part was seeing the fire-breathing dragon and seeing it actually blow fire.
What was your favorite part?
Seeing the fire-breathing dragon.
What about you? The fire-breathing dragon? Yeah, that's fun. Thank you. Thank you guys for getting interviewed with us. We really appreciate it. It's DeMarcus again. I'm still here with Tayana, Karan,
Kiara.
And we have our new guest,
Michelle.
Miss Michelle, how long have you been a maker?
So I've been working with Southwest Bots IQ for about a year now.
Okay.
So but I've been a maker for life.
Where are you from?
So I'm from the Pittsburgh area, and Southwest Bots IQ is run right out of the south side of the city. And we work with schools from all the counties that make up southwestern Pennsylvania. So not just Allegheny County, but Beaver, Butler, Washington, Greene, Fayette, Westmoreland. We go all the way out, actually, to Johnstown and Chambersburg this year as well.
Okay. So Bots IQ, that's your company?
It's a company that I work for, yep.
Okay. So what do you guys produce?
We produce youth who hopefully have the skills needed for manufacturing. So Bots IQ is a workforce development program of the National Tooling and Machining Foundation here in Pittsburgh. And what we do is we work with high schools such as the Holy Family Institute and we work to get kids involved in the manufacturing of a bot. So I'm not actually the maker. I just help to get kids to become the makers. And this year we are very excited because Holy Family Institute is joining the program. And so some of you might have the opportunity to become makers in your own school and make a 15-pound bot that will battle. So it's a pretty exciting event.
Where are these battles held?
Good question. So the battles are held all across southwestern Pennsylvania. The way we structure it is we start at the start of the school year with the students, and they have about 5 months to design and build their bots. And then come March, we have a prelim competition. Every school goes to the prelims, and they get to test out their bots against other bots. They usually don't try to push it too hard because they don't want to break their bots completely. But at prelims, which are held at Butler County Community College and Westmoreland County Community College, the teams compete there, and they get placed or seated for the actual competition, which is the final competition to be held this year at CalU on April 13th and 14th.
Okay, so how did you hear about the Maker Faire?
So Bots IQ has been a proud presenter at the Maker Faire for a few years now, and every year we look for new ways to get out there and to communicate what it is we do and get kids excited about not just science and learning, but about manufacturing. And so we try to keep up with all of the activities that happen around the city, and not just Maker Faire, but anything and everything that we can get kids interested into careers in manufacturing.
How many kids are you allowed to enroll, like, at a time?
Excellent question. So this year alone, we have 66 schools involved, and the schools have to have a minimum of 4 students on the team. So one teacher and 4 students is the lowest. However, a lot of schools engage more than one teacher and a lot more than just 4 students. So we usually get around 1,000 students that are participating in the program in some shape or form. They may not be designing or making the bot. Maybe they're helping with marketing and promotion at their school. Perhaps they're doing the t-shirt designs because the team wants to sell t-shirts to fundraise for their program. So there's a lot more than just that 1,000 that we kind of ballpark for our program that get involved. But then you've got all the alumni that come back and volunteer and things like that. So we're really hitting a lot of people. It's really cool.
So what do you do to help finance the company?
So Southwestern Pennsylvania Bots IQ is a nonprofit. So that means we look for support from all over the place. Mm-hmm. And this year we have a lot of generous foundations that are supporting us again. And for example, one particular company is Chevron Foundation. And every school that participates is able to get a grant, which means that the Holy Family Institute, just for participating this year, and you're in your first year, you get $1,050 from Chevron Foundation. And they were able to support us yet another year, and we're able to give grants to every first and second year team to give them $1,050. Every third year team, we're able to give them $500. And every fourth year and beyond, we have some teams that have been competing all 13 years, they're able to get $250. So that's the basic that we give them. The schools do a lot of great things, candy sales and t-shirt sales, and they reach out to the communities, and we also partner the school with a manufacturer in their community. One, to learn a little bit more about manufacturing, but two, to also get some support as well. So sometimes they get donations in money, sometimes the donations are in materials like metals or plastics, and sometimes the donations are in services. So like maybe they need help making something, they want to make this part, they designed it, and so the manufacturer might actually run the part for them on a machine and make it for them because they're not able to at their school.
Okay, so how did you get involved with Bots IQ?
I've actually been a middle school teacher for the previous 12 years, and I was looking for something a little different, something that had a little bit more value to it. I love teaching. You only get to see, though, the students that come through your class, and over the years, I've taught probably well over 1,000 students, but this was a great opportunity to reach even more. You know, 1,000 students every year is huge compared to 120 or so each year. So this was a great way for me to do something that I love, which is teaching, but also about developing students. I really always strived as a teacher to make sure that I was preparing my students for their future. Well, one thing that I realized through becoming a program manager at Bots IQ was that I was almost preparing them just for college. And not every student should go to college, and not every student needs to go to college, and that some students, there's other opportunities for them out there. And so what Bots IQ has taught me is that to become a professional in the manufacturing field, there's a lot of different ways to get there. Sure, you can go to four-year college. You can go to two-year college. You can go to short-term training. And for some, you can go straight into the workforce. So it's been really great because I feel like I've learned a lot more in the position, and now I can help even more kids hopefully discover some great career pathways, especially here in Pittsburgh.
What school did you teach at?
So my first 2 years, I taught at Still Rocks. My next 8 years, I taught at Bethel Park. And then the last 2 years, I just taught for a little Catholic school where my kids go, and that was St. Alexis.
Thank you for your time here. We really enjoyed listening to your listening about your company and, you know, you telling us everything that you've worked for. And yeah.
Thank you, guys, and hopefully you'll become the makers on your school's teams.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We also have some guests. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
What's your name?
Donald.
What school you go to?
Willow Hills Intermediate.
Vaishon. Willow Hills Intermediate.
What grade are y'all in?
Fourth.
You're all in fourth grade?
Connell. Go to Woodland Hills Intermediate, fourth grade.
Tylon. Woodland Hills Intermediate.
Okay, so what did you guys see today?
We saw a dragon that breathed fire, and on its tail, there was fire that came out, and we got to make robots, and I thought that was cool.
What was your favorite part about today?
My favorite part was just being with all my friends and, you know, like being here with them. What to do was probably lunchtime.
Lunchtime. What did you have for lunch?
Carrots, an apple, and a sandwich.
That sounds good. All right, well, thank you for your time, guys. We really appreciate it. That concludes the Holy Family student coverage of Maker Faire on Youth Express, recorded live from SOB Radio. Special thanks to all the makers that came in and got interviewed by us. We thank the students that came in and talked to us about their times here and the inventions they made. We welcome your feedback and input. Please address comments to info@youthexpress.org. You're listening to Youth Express, all youth, all the time. For more of this podcast or others like it on demand, find us on SoundCloud or stay tuned to youthexpress.org. Youth Express, catch the future.